So your MLAs have been given a £1,000 pay rise, increasing their annual salary to £50,500. Now, they were due to receive the extra money over the past 3 years, but the increase was blocked by the then Secretary of State, Karen Bradley, because Stormont was suspended. MLA pay is set by an independent body, but do you agree with the pay rise? 03030 80 55 55. On the line we have our political correspondent, Enda McLafferty. Good morning to you, Enda.
Morning, Vinny.
Tell us more about this. I heard Dan Dodds, the Minister for the Economy, on Good Morning Ulster today saying she was unaware this was coming. I think we seem to have lost Enda. We'll try and get Enda back up on the line if we can. Let's speak to Max Mackin, who is a businessman and commentator. Good morning to you, Max.
How are you doing, Vinny?
While we try and get Enda back up, let's chat with you. People will find this difficult to swallow because 3 years MLAs have not been in Stormont. Now, they have been doing some work to an extent in their constituencies, but they've not been there. Actually, I think Enda's back with us. Enda, tell us more about this.
Well, essentially, Vinny, this goes back to the pay structure put in place by the independent panel, which was appointed back in 2016, and they put structures in place that were going to last for the full term of the Assembly, some 5 years, and they built in a system whereby the Assembly members' pay would increase, linked with the rise in inflation year on year. And essentially what happened was, because the Assembly was down, back in 2018, when Assembly members were due to get a £500 uplift because of the rise in inflation, Karen Bradley stepped in at that point on a request from the Assembly Commission not to approve the rise in those circumstances, because it was felt at the time that the fact that the politicians weren't doing their job, the Assembly Commission deemed that it would be inappropriate for Assembly members to get the extra money. And then what's happened subsequently is that they were due another uplift last April, so what's basically is a rollover, and that what they're going to see now in their pay packet when they receive it at the end of this month is that their annual salary has increased from £49,500 to £50,500. So MLAs, of course, might take the view that they were entitled to this because it was linked to the rise in inflation, and this is simply now everything falling into place as they expect to receive the first paycheck. Of course, against the background of the fact that they weren't sitting for 3 years, the public, of course, might well take a very different view. But it is worth also saying, Vinny, I think if you look at what our Assembly members in Northern Ireland receive compared to their counterparts in Scotland and Wales, for instance, in Scotland, a member of the Assembly there is receiving just over £61,000, and in Wales they pocket around £67,000. So in terms of what they do and the pay that they get, it is way below what their other colleagues get in other parts of the UK. That said, of course, their colleagues elsewhere have been working for the past 3 years, whereas our Assembly members, of course, have not.
Yeah, and just a little bit more on that independent review panel. The idea behind that is to take the decision out of MLAs, out of their hands, whether they deserve or should have a pay rise in the first place.
Yes, that it was deemed, as it is in other institutions, that the matter of Assembly members' pay and expenses should not be set by Assembly members, essentially, that it should be taken out of their hands and given to an independent panel, which, by the way, no longer exists. It was wound up a number of years ago. So it essentially sets the rules for all of this, and they looked at best practice elsewhere, and that's why they put these particular structures in place that would see Assembly members' pay rise with the rise in inflation. Now, I should say that they are expecting, I think, a further rise in April of some £500 as well. So this basically, Vinny, it has to be said, is beyond the control of Assembly members. They can't do anything about it. This has been set by the independent pay review panel, and that's why whenever they say it's going to happen, it's going to fall into their pay packets at the end of this month.
So £1,000 now, which would have happened in the past 3 years, another £500 in April. I think some of the confusion or the, I guess, lack of understanding people have is when we hear MLA say, well, look, we don't agree with this, but we have no control over this. It was possible for the Secretary of State to block the pay rise in the past. Why can't that be done now?
Well, Karen Bradley, of course, was able to do that via, I think, the powers at Westminster. So she was able to step in there at the request of the Assembly Commission, and she acted on behalf of a letter she received, indeed, from the former Speaker, Robin Newton. So she was able to act back then, but I'm not sure whether or not our MLAs have the same power at Stormont to be able to do the same, because they set that independent panel up to give it the powers of statute, to give it the powers, I suppose, to bring forward the legislation to make it happen. And I think it is perhaps a little bit easier for Karen Bradley Bradley to wield the axe at Westminster, as opposed to her MLAs trying to do something likewise at Stormont.
OK, Enda McLafferty, thank you very much. We'll speak to the businessman Max Macken and the independent MLA Jim Wells in just a moment. First of all, though, SDLP MLA Daniel McCrossan, good morning to you.
Good morning, Vinny.
What's your stance on this? Will you be taking it? Will you be doing anything with that extra cash?
Well, again, we weren't expecting this. This has come out of the blue this week, and the first response from myself and SDLP colleagues was that this was entirely unacceptable, given that there's been no government here for 3 years and that MLAs haven't been at Stormont for 3 years as a result of the stalemate between the DUP and Sinn Féin. So in that regard, this is entirely unjustifiable. It's unjustifiable also because we've stood on picket lines beside our nurses. We have listened to our teachers and our civil servants who haven't had a pay increase that they are rightfully entitled to. And in that regard, as an MLA for West Tyrone, I will not be accepting the pay increase and will be making a donation along with other SDLP MLAs to a charity of our choice in our local constituency.
In terms of that cash, you've said that it will go to that mental health charity and your colleague Pat Catney as well. Is that an SDLP policy or is that just you as individual MLAs?
Well, mental health is something I feel very strongly about and something I've worked very hard on behind the scenes to ensure that local charities are supported and receive the necessary funding that they so badly need to support those in need within the community I represent. That's an individual decision, and certainly with Pat, I'm sure it's the same. But we are not just the only two SDLP MLAs in isolation. There's many, and each will be deciding on which charity to state that. The difficulty we have is that we cannot reject the pay increase because it's automatically allocated to individual MLAs.
So the reason I ask that is do you believe your party should have a view that all of its MLAs do the same? Or is it something they're going to let each MLA individually decide on?
Well, my understanding this morning is that the entire assembly group will be donating to individual charities of their own choice. And I'm delighted to hear that my colleagues will be doing that alongside me and others that have announced that they were doing so yesterday.
Jim Wells?
First of all, could I just correct something there? I'm not an independent MLA, but DUP MLA. But apart from that, I must say that...
You don't have the party whip anymore.
Yes, but I'm still DUP. Just a DUP MLA without the party whip. Could I just say, I think Enda actually summed it up very well and very fairly. We decided that because of the controversy surrounding MLA's pay, which will always be controversial. I remember being condemned when we had our pay cut to £22,000 a year in 2003, and people still said we weren't worth that amount. You can never win on this issue. So what we decided to do was to take the pay completely outside the control of Stormont and set up an independent financial review panel to look at best practice and look at what other legislators were doing. And they have drawn up these proposals. They've been implemented. Their statute, there's nothing we can do about this. If they decide to cut our pay, we accept it. If they increase it by 1%, we accept it. And I think most people will believe that it's right that MLAs have no say whatsoever in what they're paid.
Yeah.
And that's just a fact of life. Now, most people, I think, will give it to charity. That's what, I've given it some thought overnight, and that's what I'll be doing. I'll give the pay rise to charity because, really, there's no other option because the law states that this has to be paid.
Yeah.
What individual MLAs do with it is a different issue. I think Daniel and his team are giving it to mental health, and I think that's a very worthy cause. But at the end of the day, you either accept the right of the Independent Financial Review Panel to do this or you don't. And the only alternative is for the rather unseemly debates we used to have when MLAs decided what they were worth. And I don't think anyone would accept
but
that.
Could it not be, I'm looking at the former MLA, Dahi Mackay, he's tweeting saying, you know, fair enough how the Independent Commission recommends salary levels, but then MLAs could vote on it. So, you know, then that decision would be with MLAs whether they thought they were worth it, not how much, but whether they were worth any increase. Yeah.
But then you could have MLAs proposing they're worth more. And I think MLAs are probably the worst people to decide what they are worth.
That the suggestion here is that review panel would suggest what the increase, if any, should be, and then MLAs would vote on whether to accept that or not.
But that would still be allowing MLAs to have an input into it.
Okay.
Pay.
Explain to Jim, because you can give us an insight into this as well, because, again, the Secretary of State was able to block this before. You know, in the past 3 years, why can't the Secretary of State, if you went to the Secretary of State now and said, like, we don't think this is right, the timing is not right, you change this decision?
Well, first of all, remember, he blocked it because the Assembly asked him to block it. The Commission, which I sat on and which represents all the parties, wrote to the Secretary of State, Karen Bradley, as was then, and
yes.
said, look, you can block it. Now, that could be done in a situation where there wasn't a restoration of devolution. Situation's very different now because the Assembly's back and the legislation that the Secretary of State enacted is now null and void, and therefore we're back into the situation where the Independent Financial Review Panel makes a decision, and whether we like it or not, either putting the pay up or taking it down, we have to take it on the chin and accept it. Now, that the only other option is for MLAs to have some say in their pay. And I think that the public just wouldn't wear that. Okay. Is this an undesirable situation? Absolutely, it is.
So you are going to donate the money yourself, Jim.
Yes,
and McLafferty was telling us that there's another £500 due in April. So what will your stance be going forward for that £500 and again next year?
Exactly the same as it was last year, even though I didn't even get it, though I knew that if the devolution was restored, it would arrive. There are excellent charities in South Down which deserve our support, and therefore, I think that's, for those MLAs who have difficulty with this, I think that's the best way forward. It's a 1% rise. It's worth saying it's a 1% rise, which means that in real terms, that's 3% cut, because inflation has increased by 6% in the same time. But no one's going to shed any tears for us. I mean, let's be honest about
possibly
it.
Possibly not. But
you can't win in this one.
And there's others that will make the argument that, that any rise linked to inflation, not everyone is getting that. So
it's not linked to inflation. The way it works is that if inflation in September is more than 1%, we get 1%. But inflation in September was 1.7%. Now, it's just an academic argument. And I don't think anyone believes we should get a pay rise linked directly to inflation. So, you know, but that's the facts we're in. Now, can I just say one other thing, Vinny? We need to attract people who are executives, finance managers, barristers, teachers to stand for the Assembly. And whether we like it or not, we will not attract quality candidates unless the pay keeps up to some extent with inflation. Now, the reality is we're not representative of society. We don't have head teachers. We don't have chief executives resigning their jobs to stand as MLAs.
Max, and you're a businessman, and I wonder what would happen in the business world. 3 years, MLAs have not been at Stormont. Again, they have been doing, I'm sure, some constituency work, but not fulfilling their full duties. What would happen in that industry?
It just wouldn't happen. You know, sort of when you listen to the news, like 1 week after coming back in the Stormont, and just go, it's just PR disaster after PR disaster. And people are focusing on this £1,000. It's not £1,000. If you can remember, about a year and a bit ago, the wages was cut by £7,425 and then again by £6,187. So with that £1,000, they've actually got a pay raise when they've come back to work of £14,612. Which, again, is a lot, but it's just, you know, I disagree with Jim. Somebody could have said, somewhere, some spot could have said, guys, why don't we just put our foot in this for a month or two, and then we'll sort of, even if we have the back data. But the nurses that stand out in the freezing cold to try and get money. My mate Jerry works in civil service, hasn't had a pay raise in 11 years, and you sort of think, just back to work after 3 years.
You see, Jim, and many will echo what Max is saying. Could this not have been at least postponed or handled better, another PR disaster for Stormont?
Vinny, the one thing I'll agree with you, it is a bit of a disaster from a PR point of view. No one could say otherwise. The problem is that the way that the legislation was framed by the Secretary of State is it stated as the day that the devolution was restored, this issue was going to be addressed. That wasn't our decision. It wasn't the Commission's decision. That was the Secretary of State's decision, and Parliament's as well, actually, because they passed the legislation.
I suppose if you can walk out of Stormont for 3 years, but if you'd have said that 3 years ago, people would have said that's just unbelievable. That would never happen. But if you can do that, surely you can pause this. Can't be that difficult.
Well, the Assembly can't do it. Remember the pay, as you quite rightly pointed out.
Yeah, but the Assembly must know people they can talk to and say, guys, listen, we don't think this is a good idea. Can we pause it? It's not sort of like you must take it or you must not take it.
It would be require primary legislation, but the pay was cut to £35,000 during the.
Well, that legislation you refer to, Jim, is that something that you think that they should look at? You know, Robin Newton said at the time when this was postponed that it wasn't appropriate in those circumstances, and people will say, well, why is it appropriate now? 3 years out, just back in, nurses on strike.
Well, hopefully on the nursing issue, quite deservedly, the issue of pay parity has been addressed by the new minister.
Yeah, but in terms of that legislation, is that something you think that should be pursued? A change?
No, and I'll tell you why. It's because everyone, when this legislation was passed, everybody knew what was going to happen when devolution was restored. And this is where we would have been had devolution continued for the last 3 years.
Yes, but it didn't.
But I keep coming back to the point, you're earning far more than this, Vinnie. Far, far more, as is Stephen Nolan and many others in the BBC. You're paid by the public and so are we. But the point is, if we're going to attract the quality of candidate that we need to get Northern Ireland back on its feet, we're going to have to partially keep pace with inflation. And where you look around the benches at Stormont, how many people have left top jobs to go to Stormont? Very, very few. Because why would they, given the volatility of it and the fact that it could collapse at any
Well,
point?
You know, there will be some perhaps, Jim, that will agree. We heard Edmund McLafferty refer to Scotland, where the equivalent are paid 61,000, Wales 67. There is a fair difference there.
There is.
Although they have been there for the last 3 years. 0-30-30-80-55-55. Let's take some calls on this. Daniel in Lisburn. Good morning, Daniel.
How are you doing there, Vinnie?
Not too bad. Go ahead.
I just think that the Secretary of State, he's no backbone, you see. He's been given the MLAs 3 years' worth of wages while our nursing staff are out in the cold
and
striking.
You know, he would probably say, excuse me, I'm the one that got them back in there. And that possibility of that assembly election maybe gave them that little jump to get them back in there, back working.
Yeah, but you see, come on over, we'll stand up and say, right, if you don't go into work, you don't get your wages. I have to go into work ill. If I take a day off, I don't get paid, you know what I mean? So what makes the MLAs so special compared to us?
Do you think, are we too hard on them? You know, it's been 3 years and they've not been in, but we wanted them back in there to make tough decisions. They're back in there and hopefully that's what they're going to do. So, you know, going forward, when do you just give them a break? Let them do the job?
Yes, I'll give them a break whenever they actually do their job, because they're on here and they're squabbling. Like, they never give a straight answer. It's like, would you like a cup of tea? Oh no, we're in negotiations about this, you see, because it's always never a yes or no answer, and they're always squabbling over something. And I do not think, yes, they do earn enough money, you see, but they should not get a pay rise whenever they're getting 3 years' worth of wages, going on holidays and all. So that's about, what, £4,000-odd a month? Like, I think, and I'd say there's a lot of people there would agree with me that it's a disgrace.
Daniel, thank you. Joan next. Good morning, Joan.
Good morning. I would like to make a few points, Vinnie, please.
Sure.
Number one, I've been a civil servant for 35 years. I'm now self-employed. As civil servants, we get 6 months full pay whenever we're ill, actually, and 6 months then we go on to half pay. Our MLAs, they haven't been ill, but they simply have refused to go to work, let's face it. The public are justifiably very angry this morning in Northern Ireland. I've been listening all morning to Radio Foyle and Radio Ulster and the comments, justifiably so. May I suggest that if our MLAs have any conscience, that they will hand the money over immediately to our nurses, who do an amazing job and are very underpaid and exploited. Number two, to the homeless people, many of whom have lost their jobs, lost their homes through no fault of their own. And number three, to our high suicide rates, the highest in the UK, especially among young people in Northern Ireland who are crying out for help. Hand the money over to
these people. Our politicians are echoing some of what you're saying, Joan. Like, for example, Michelle O'Neill is saying, given that the Assembly has just been restored, this is unjustifiable and should not be paid. You heard from Daniel McCrossan from the SDLP.
Yes.
He agrees, and he's giving his money to a mental health charity.
Yes.
Jim Wells is doing something similar. He's giving his money this year, and he says that £500 that is coming in April. Although the other way to look at this is, you know, there are 90 MLAs. There's £1,000 each at this point. £500 in April, that's £135,000 that's going to cost you and me to you know, front and to get the cash for.
Look, anyone with a conscience here, whether they're an MLA or not, will look at the situation and say, look here, this is corrupt. Actually,
well, no one is suggesting there's corruption here. This is, again, it's been set by an independent pay panel. The MLAs did not decide. They did not say they wanted a pay increase. They were told that they should get one. and we've been told that they don't have the power to reject that. Joan, thank you. Max, again, going back to what MLAs are the similar in Scotland and Wales get, there's more money there. Jim referred to the fact if you want to attract top people for what are very tough jobs, you know, the likes of this conversation is not going to encourage anyone to want to be an MLA.
You know, I mean, apart from that, it's just really bad timing. But Jim's right. You do need to get people who work in the top echelons in business and other forms to come in to be sort of like politicians. And politicians in Northern Ireland do get a lot of stick. They're just sort of held up for ridicule on many, many social media and stuff. And they probably do a good job that your normal working guy probably couldn't do. But at the same time, sort of, you know, like Jim said, sort of, you are more than us, Billy, because you work for the BBC. But I bet your expense account is nowhere near what theirs is.
Let's not make assumptions. I didn't respond to what Jim said. He made a statement. I didn't confirm what I get paid.
Oh, no, I didn't. I just said what he said. He did say that, though, didn't he?
You do, Billy. Well, you do earn more than I do.
He did say that, but Billy, the expenses that sort of like these MLAs get are just phenomenal. If you have a look, I remember reading one MLA in particular, £225,000 expenses per year, plus their salary and whatever add-ons that come on with it, any freebies to pick up. And you just have to imagine it's sort of like, you know, if you get that amount of money and you get that amount of flexibility, do your job. You know, do your job. The reason we were out for 3 years of storming is because two parties couldn't agree, and their job is to agree and run the country, and they just couldn't do it. And they sat in the sidelines, picked up the wages, and then come back in the first weekend of the assembly to give themselves a pay raise. Or they say they've been a pay raise has been foisted upon them.
Well, it has.
It seems ridiculous. It's just, Jim, I can't believe it's wrong.
You
sort of, who runs it?
Yeah, well, and Jim Wells, that's where some people will have issue. You know, this independent panel, who is that? Who commissions that? They don't just rise out of the ground. Someone says we need to have this panel. I assume that's government. Therefore, you know, the decision to implement that, their recommendation, again, falls to government. Surely, Jim Wells?
Yes, but not to the Northern Ireland government. Yeah. That's the crucial issue. And Vinnie, just remember, we lost Stephen Agnew and Simon Hamilton during the three-year period, both of whom, I think all people would accept, made a major contribution to the Assembly, who were obviously very bright individuals. Both left. And unfortunately, that's the type of people we need.
Are you saying that's down to money?
Well, I think in both cases they felt that the Assembly was so volatile and so uncertain that they couldn't continue on, and they've both gone on to better things. Now, that's their personal decisions, and I wouldn't criticise them one iota for doing that. But the point is, those are the type of people we need to retain at Stormont. And the problem is, this debate, and it's totally legitimate, will confirm that the view for many people, it's just not worth the hassle.
Okay.
And
I don't know. In terms of those MLAs in particular that went elsewhere, I have a memory of Stephen Agnew referring to spending more time with his family, etc. I don't know why they did leave. Robert, next. Good morning, Robert.
Good morning. I would like to say the independent panel, this is my point here, mismanagement, once again, of taxpayers' money. I would love to ask that independent panel if it was coming out of their own accounts, would they do things?
Well, what do you want to pay an MLA?
Sorry,
what would you want to pay an MLA? You know, these are not easy
MLA,
jobs. Like, why would you want to do a difficult job running the country if you weren't getting paid properly for it?
Difficult job, yeah. Are you having some form of a laugh?
I'm not laughing.
The MLAs are having a difficult job.
Well, would you do it, Robert?
Now, if you really want to get into this, the civil servants run the country. The MLAs don't. They're only puppets on a string.
Well, do you vote?
It's irrelevant why I vote.
No, it isn't irrelevant, because why are you voting for people if you don't believe the fact that they get elected and makes any difference?
Well, my point here is, I find it very insulting. You'll never, one thing for sure, you'll never see MLAs standing out with placards complaining about lack of wages, like nurses. You'll never see MLAs going to food banks. You will never see MLAs laying in their doorways in their city centres.
Well, let's let Jim respond to that. Jim, you're an MLA.
Sorry?
Let's let Jim Wells respond to that, because he is an MLA.
The very first decision the Assembly took, and quite rightly so, was to look at the nurses' pay issue and bring about parity. And Robin Swan had the full support of the Assembly in dealing with that issue. So I think that was a very strong point as far as the Assembly is concerned. No, MLS, during the three-year recess, I'll be quite honest with you, I was bringing home £504 a week. That's what it was. Now, that still was enough. I think that was an average working man's wage as it was. That's what I was bringing home, and I was okay. I accept that. But, you know, if we're going to appoint people and elect people to do this job and then constantly criticise them, and we were criticised when we earned £22,000 a year, I can remember it very clearly, we still weren't worth it. If you're going to constantly criticise them, then don't complain when people of real talent and ability on all sides of the House refuse to have anything to do with it. Don't complain, because that's what's going to happen, because you're not going to get the talent that you need, the talent we get in Scotland, Wales and at Westminster. It isn't going to be there at Stormont because people will not put their heads above the parapets.
OK. Max Mackin and Jim Wells, thank you. We'll take more of your calls on this in a moment. 030 30 80 55 55. Let's go to Michael in Finnicky. Good morning, Michael.
Good morning, Vinny. Vinny, I would like to talk about the competency levels of MLAs. It's not just a question of them sitting in the Assembly and going through the voting lobby. What are they doing in the background? So we need to actually have a typed up resume.
You mean like their constituency work?
Yeah, we need to know what the constituency work was, how much they get, and what their success level is. And secondly, they have researchers. What are the researchers doing? Because they were off the ball too whenever RHI was happening, showing the total incompetence of the MLA system. And we had decent researchers supporting MLAs with a certain level of incompetence. Maybe we could develop an energy policy and a climate change policy.
You're suggesting that there
Nobody is talking about this. No party has an energy policy. No party talks about a climate change policy. And it seems they sit there and say, I wonder how the civil servants will help us. Use your researchers. I want to hear what research the researchers did. And I want to see typed up a resume. Here's the work we did. Here was the degree of success.
Well, you've also heard, Michael, we were talking about it on the programme yesterday, the special advisors to the ministers in Stormont, and they've asked their pay to be capped at £85,000. Would you cap the pay of an MLA?
Well, the way I would deal with the special advisor, again, these guys are brought in because there must be the hierarchy must realise the competency level in Stormont is awful.
No, but special advisors are not unique. People to advise ministers and government, that's not unique to Stormont and Northern Ireland. Like, that happens in Westminster, you know, Scotland, Wales. This is not just something we have here.
Well, then I don't care, because if you're going to be an MLA, you've got to come up to the plate and you've got to have visions.
But should you be expected to know everything, Michael?
Sorry?
Should you be expected to know everything? If you come in and you are put into a certain department, are you trying to say that an MLA should not have any advisor, a minister should not have any advisor to keep them right and to help them do the job as best they can?
The moment you become an MLA, you get a brief from your party and you're in charge of a certain area and you have a researcher working with you to keep on the ball all the time what's going on, to develop policy that you can go in hard-hitting to the civil servant and says, we want this, this and this, and this is how it works. You can't just go in willy-nilly. They're not using the researchers. And if the SPADs are coming in to help, I don't think the SPADs' pay should be any more than the minister's pay. I mean, let's get real with the SPADs. Here, Winnie, you brought up the SPADs.
You just called me Winnie.
Sorry?
You just called me Winnie.
Sorry about that. I'm probably speaking too fast. But, as regards to the SPADs, I would prefer there was less talk about the SPADs and what the SPADs are doing until after the RHI. Is this another... Okay.
Well, let's wait until that inquiry... Let's wait until that inquiry actually comes to a conclusion. We'll not try and preempt that. Helen in Belfast next. Good morning to you, Helen.
Good morning, Vinny. How are you?
I'm all right.
Vinny, I feel so cross and so angry I can barely speak about the MLAs and their pay increase. The gross hypocrisy of these people, not one of them would come out last night and be interviewed. Five main parties. The only person that came out was the People Before Profit, Gerry Carroll.
But they've all come out, a lot of them have come out now and they've said, you know, where they stand on it.
Oh yes, they've come out now, but they didn't come out last night because they were too busy. We have been, as nurses, we have been out protesting and striking for pay, I actually now have an increase of 41 pence an hour. That's what I get. They are up there lording it up. They are getting paid all this extra money for their subsidies. They're getting their meals paid. They're getting driven to work, driving into bus lanes, you know, whenever it suits them to get to work faster. We are working so hard. It is disgraceful. And, of course, they can have control over what they're doing. Of course they can.
Well, the SDLP MLA, Daniel McCrossan, he said this morning, as far as he is aware, every MLA within that party in particular is going to donate that £1,000. We've gone to the other parties to see
it's
what they're doing. Well, is it all words? You know, they're saying with one hand, Helen, they didn't ask for this and they think it's bad timing and they cannot actually reverse the decision. So some are taking the action of giving it away.
I don't think that's fair, and I don't think we can actually believe that. Of course,
well, we've no reason to believe otherwise.
Well, it just, the timing of it couldn't be worse. The hypocrisy of them all, even when they did go back into storm at Boris Johnson over, they're grinning away and grinning like Cheshire cats. They're walking around like precocks. Oh, we're great. This is such fun. We're back in Stormont. But people are working so hard.
Yeah. Although,
I'm working 13-hour shifts and getting paid 11 and a half hours. We're working so hard.
They got the executive back up and running, and they did sort out that pay party issue for the nurses. So some will think, Kellen, maybe are you being unfair on them?
Absolutely not. My Lord, listen to everybody in the country. Everybody is furious with them. People, my husband's a teacher and he hasn't had a pay rise in almost 10 years. It's just, and even the pay rise that we have got, it's fine. It wasn't about money. It was about staffing, because they've trimmed back the health service so much that we have got no young nurses coming in. Our wards are chock-a-block. They've closed A&Es. They've closed minor injuries units. They've done so much damage, and we pay them an increase. Honestly, it is appalling. And so they're so hypocritical sitting up there.
What's your message to them this morning, Helen? What do you say to them?
Oh, God, I don't know what to say to them. I don't know how they can sleep at night, how they morally can take this pay rise and, oh, dear, poor us. Oh, Lord, we've no control over it. Honestly, it's just heartrending. It's just heartbreaking.
And again, you know, there are many that agree with you totally, Helen, but there are a lot of them coming out and saying, we will donate this money here. Jim Wells this morning saying he's going to donate the £1,500 this year and next. You know, the SDLP, the Alliance Party, they said in a statement that we're not happy with the timing or context of this increase, but it is not within our gift to refuse it. Unless sole control of salaries and offices, cost controls is returned to MLAs.
How is it fair that they automatically get a pay rise of no control of? And those of us in public service that are doing a really good, hard job every day of our lives, how is this fair?
I get that.
They're so hypocritical. It's hard to any respect
I guess,
any of them. I don't know how they sleep at night.
Yeah, I'm sure there will be many that agree with you, Helen. You know, they are talking about this automatic pay rise that they could not reject. They cannot reject, and yet nurses had to go out on the picket lines, strike, lose salary for the days that they took that action to try and get pay parity for something that MLAs here initially agreed with. Helen, thank you. Keith in Fermanagh next. Good morning, Keith.
Morning, Vinny. How are you?
I'm not too bad. Go ahead.
A couple of points I want to pick up on what Jim Wells said there. Jim Wells said there that the average wage for the working man is £500, £550 a week. I don't know what world he's in or what Northern Ireland he's living in, because I'm working over 30 hours a week and I'm bringing in just under £260 a week. And my wife has a disability and I don't get any benefits, I don't get any help, I don't get any meal allowance, I don't get any fuel allowance. And when I go to Asda to do my shopping, they don't turn around and say to me, you haven't had a pay rise now in over 6 years, we'll charge you 6 years ago's prices. Number two is, Jim Wells says that the first thing they done when they got back into government was to fight for pay parity. Let me tell you, Mr. Jim Wells, it was the nurse's uniform, it was the strength of that uniform on the streets in Northern Ireland that embarrassed yous that much that yous had no other choice, but they forced yous back into government. It was the nurses put the Stormont back up, it wasn't the MLAs. And that's a fact. Only them nurses on right day were to go out. Only they went out and talked to the streets in Northern Ireland. We still would not have a government.
What's your message to them, Keith?
Get a grip, catch yourselves on and start governing this place here and start fighting for the people that has actually put you where you are.
Keith, thank you.
I would like a pay raise. I haven't had a pay raise in over 6 years, and I would like a pay raise, and I work for local authority. And I say that for every single cleaner, bin person, nurse, okay, every civil servant.
How much did you say you earn a week, Keith?
I earn less than £260 a week, and I'm working over 30 hours a week for a local authority.
And how difficult do you find that to make ends meet?
Difficult. If we'd tell you something, my mortgage is nearly £500 a month.
So straight away, you know, 2 weeks a month is gone on your mortgage straight away.
Yeah, and then they're sitting there and they're cribbing and crying and they're getting their meals paid for, they're getting subsidies up in Stormont, and they're getting all the allowances today. And if they even go to a dinner party or they're invited out to a function, they don't put their hand in their pocket because it's all paid for them. But yet and all, whenever I stop for my meal at dinner time, I have to go into the local cafe and I have to pay for it.
Can I ask what you do for a living, Keith?
I work for the local authority. I work for the education board.
Keith, thank you for calling this morning. 030 30 80 55 55. We'll take a couple more calls on this for now. Jim in Belfast. Good morning, Jim.
Good morning. I listened to the programme. Now, to me, the MLAs didn't do themselves any favour. There's an old saying, what you don't expect, you don't miss. So whenever that amount of money, £1,000 each, they heard they were going to get it, why didn't it come out and block and say, no, that's going to the nurses' fund? That would have brought them up in the eyes of the people. Now, one other point nobody has spoken about. If Stormont collapses again, say, for example, it collapses on a Wednesday,
right.
I expect on Thursday direct rule to come in, and that Stormont finished. You can't keep opening and closing the doors. It's like a revolving door. If they don't like something, we're out. And I think it's a disgrace that somebody else nominates how much salary increase they're going to get.
But if they were doing it themselves, surely that would gather a lot of criticism as well, if they were deciding what they were worth.
No, I don't want them to decide, but I want to know who the committee is. Are they from here? Are they from England? That's all I want to know. Thank you very much for taking this call.
Okay, Jim.
Bye-bye.
Jim, thank you. The SDLP press office have confirmed to us that each MLA within that party will donate that money, that extra pay rise that they have received. So the question from this party, this programme, is to the other parties. You know, what stance will you be taking as a party? What will you be advising your MLAs to do? We're going to put calls into the parties now, and hopefully we'll have a response by the end of the programme. Thomas, good morning to you.
Hello, hi Dan.
All right, go ahead, Thomas.
I'm just ringing up, and I'll agree with some of your callers that went in there. But first of all, I'd like to praise the people before Prophet Gary Carroll, who raised this as a major issue yesterday up in Stormont. And I think only for him raising it, it's really embarrassed the rest of the members up in the Assembly. So it has. And if you look at the headlines in the local newspaper, he takes home a living wage. That's all he takes home as an MLA. I think he's showing an example now to our so-called Assembly members that you have to really take a good look at yourselves in the mirrors. I've also seen that the Speaker will earn $88,000 a year. It is a wee bit of a joke getting. I declared it to the wife. I said to the wife, as soon as they get back to Stormont, I said, they'll get a pay raise. I said, I'll put money on it. You wouldn't have got a price on it in the boogies.